Mandatory vaccinations have been part of the conversation for a while. Perhaps they are slightly more part of the conversation now. Perhaps there's a slightly sharper focus now, given the fact that Cyril Ramaphosa signaled for the first time in his address to the nation on Sunday that government was quite seriously considering it. I've already taken issue with the fact that they're announcing a task team now, whereas that task team should already have completed its work. But anyway, and there are an increasing number of universities that are instituting some kind of compulsory vaccination mandate if you want to access the campus and so on. AfriForum has made it clear that any compulsory vaccination mandate which is handed down will be challenged in the courts because they believe it to be unconstitutional. Martin Kingston is chair of Business for South Africa on the line from Johannesburg. Martin, good morning.
Morning to you and your listeners, John. I hope you're well.
Yeah, I am. Thank you very much. I hope you are too. I think it's Business Unity South Africa, which is a separate but interlinked body that is applying for a constitutional court declaratory order saying that compulsory vaccination is constitutional under these circumstances with these caveats. Do you have any idea, Martin, how far that process has got?
Yes, indeed, John. I do indeed. I should just clarify that Business for South Africa was created effectively by Business Unity South Africa and by the Black Business Council as a sort of an effective, agile response unit to the pandemic, and we represent BUSA in that regard. On the declaratory order, so BUSA has moved ahead to try and get clarification because we think it will provide the necessary reassurance to many who are concerned about sort of the legal outcomes of any challenge. We're confident that constitutionally it's the obligation of the employer to safeguard the majority of the workforce, not at the expense of individual liberties necessarily, but the rights of the many trump the rights of a few. And we hope that the sooner that there is a court process, the sooner we can get that clarity. But in our opinion, the position is already very apparent that the obligations of the employer are indeed to safeguard the workplace and the workforce. As I indicated, we already have occupational health and safety legislation passed into law by the Minister of Employment and Labour earlier this year. We negotiated it through the NEDLAC structures as business with labour, civil society and government, which imposes that requirement upon employers. So frankly, all we're doing is ensuring that for the avoidance of doubt, if there are legal challenges, they can be rebutted appropriately. But none of that, as you've indicated, stops employers or indeed institutions such as the universities that you have referred to putting in place appropriate policies to restrict access to the workplace or indeed to fixed establishments such as campuses to those who've been fully vaccinated, those who aren't, can't access them. And in some cases, that will mean that they will not be able to retain their employment.
I don't know whether you're able to keep track of the various companies that have tried to do this. Some have said that they will institute a compulsory vaccination policy for people wanting to attend the office, and some have indicated that they'll continue to make some effort to allow people who don't want to be vaccinated to work from home. I am told fairly regularly by listeners that either a company of which they are a part or which a family or a friend is a part of have tried to go the incentive way, and it's largely worked in that kind of, you know, 19 out of the 20 people employed by that company are now fully vaccinated. Have you any way of tracking what is happening in the work environment around the efforts that are being made to get the workforce properly vaccinated?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And actually, there is no readily available information. But anecdotally, we know that an increasing number of companies are announcing vaccination mandates or policies akin to that. In the last couple of weeks, two of the largest law firms, ENS and Webbers, have done so. EY, the very large accounting management consulting firm, have done so. Those are in the public domain. We know that there are many others who are going through their internal governance systems. None of this, of course, actually obviates the need for those employers to engage with each and every one of their employees to try and persuade them on merit of the benefits of being vaccinated and the risks that people who are not vaccinated pose, not just to themselves, but to others, as well as to the healthcare system, and ultimately, of course, to the economy, where we run the risk of more draconian lockdown levels if we don't significantly boost the level of vaccination in the country. Now, we're running at some 35% of the total adult population that has been vaccinated to date. If you look in the Northern Hemisphere, they're at more than twice that and are still imposing much heavier restrictions than we're seeing in South Africa. We know that we cannot, as an economy, afford the sort of restrictions that we saw last year. There's no fuel left in the government's tank to provide relief to those individuals and businesses that are impacted. One of the most effective tools that we've got in our armory is indeed to make sure that, and to incentivize people to get vaccinated, both positive and negative incentives. A negative incentive, in our opinion, is to restrict access. You won't be able to go to a concert, to a sporting event, unless you can demonstrate that you're fully vaccinated. It's the same, by the way, almost all over the world, to the extent that there are such events taking place. We think that should be extended to other places where people congregate, just as we think that the numbers who are allowed to congregate should be reduced from the 750 indoors and 2,000 outdoors, until a much higher number of people in the country have been properly vaccinated and therefore don't pose a threat either to others or indeed, as I said, to the healthcare system. And finally, I want to sort of endorse what you said at the outset, which is we're very appreciative of the fact that a task team is being assembled now, but it's much later than it needed to be. You know, 89,000 people have died so far from COVID. We know there's about 260,000 excess deaths. One wonders how many lives might have been saved and how many may still be saved, depending upon how aggressively we can roll out the vaccination program.
Martin Kinston, thanks very much for your time, Chair of Business for South Africa.